Well, good morning. I think this is working. They're supposed to be taping the presentation. So good to be here this morning and talking about one of my favorite topics, that's corn plant density. And really, this is more of an approach. I'll show you some Illinois data and what we do with that data to try to get to this point. And there's a lot of work been done on this by lots of people, including companies. And so this is going to be our version of it. I'll start out just by saying what we did experiment-wise. This is not more talking about data handling than about what we did, but this is simply what we did. We conducted hybrid by density trials at 5 to 7 sites per year from, that's supposed to be 2012 through 2016, and we used a precision planter in Almaco to drop seeds in 4-row plots about 23 feet or 7 meters long. These planters have been a real boon to this kind of work. In our variety testing program, they can simply put these alongside the hybrids and with very little effort. Plant stands have been very close to dropped population. Those of you with experience know you set the exact seed-to-seed spacing on those, and emergence generally tends to be close to 100%. And we're going to today consider them the same. We have some of the plant counts on them, but they're never enough different to really call them something else. We fitted an appropriate line to the data. As you'll see, most of our data fit the quadratic plus plateau pretty well. And we calculated optimum densities based on the prices of corn at $3.75 per bushel. It may get there someday. $148 per ton, and seed at $3 per thousand. Now, seed prices have been moving around a little bit, I think more down than up in the last couple of years with the lower prices, but that gives us the ratio of 0.8. You divide the seed cost by the price of the crop, or 3 divided by 148 is 0.0203 if you're doing this in metric terms. And just to show you an example, this is a quadratic response. I'll show you some of these curves with an optimum point indicated by a triangle in most cases and the maximum as a circle. And so that shows you the difference between the maximum, what some people call the agronomic optimum, which I think is not a very good term, but basically it's the maximum yield, the high point of the curve, quadratic curve, and the optimum is that's adjusted downward then to take into account the cost of seed and the price of the crop. This is a quadratic plus plateau, and this is fitted to some of the data I'll show you. This is a much more typical response. A lot of the trials I'm talking about were run from population or densities running between about 20,000 and 50,000. And a hallmark of modern hybrids is that they tend not to fall apart as they get to too high a density or higher than optimum densities. And this is a pretty typical one here. The maximum, you can see the maximum yield here was attained at about just 38,000 or so plants per acre. And the optimum is back about 3,000 to 4,000 from that. And the other thing to notice on these is that these curves in the operational range of 30 to 40,000 tend to be very flat. That's an important feature because it means when we talk about variable rate and so on, which we will do here later on, that means that, the penalties, nothing falls off the table or falls off the cliff as you go up and down from these in this population range. I'm going to show you the data by the 5 years that we're doing that. We did this, are talking about the data from 5 years, starting with 2012, a very dry year. These are pretty atypical, both in the low yields for our conditions, and also from the fact that 3 or 4 of these actually dropped off at the high densities, one of them by a considerable amount. We don't see that very often, but that year we did. And 2012 was sort of our prototype dry year. Our state average yield that year was only 105 bushels per acre, or about 7 tons per hectare. This is 2013, a much more typical response. And you can see these are just codes for the locations there. So this is 7 locations. 2014 was an extremely good year. And you can see what we saw that year. 2015, and each of these has an average of 4 to 6 or 8 hybrids. And so I'm not going to say much about hybrids, except I'll show you a couple slides from the last 2 years. This is 2015, again, a very good year. And you can get a sense here about how the responses are spinning out by location. And finally, 2016, this was the highest yielding year that we've had with these trials. And you can see that we saw the very familiar pattern by now, and that is generally these yields rose into the mid-30,000 range, and then they pretty much leveled off. We had a site at Urbana this year, but it had a bad wind lodging, root lodging event in the middle of July. The data don't make very much sense. These are by year now. Those curves I just showed you, we averaged them across sites within and hybrids within each year, and these are the responses that we got. It's turned dark in here, didn't it? thought my eyesight was failing for a minute. This is kind of remarkable when you look at this. 2012, we fitted a quadratic to it. In the other years, we have a quadratic plus plateau. Some of the individual sites you saw had a quadratic response, and some were quadratic plus plateau. Somebody might want to hit the light back there before somebody trips over someone else. But look at the optimum, the triangles there, and the maximum, the circles, and how closely they line up, even with different yield levels. And this is by year. So the top one there is 2016. These data would not obviously have been included in the abstract. And so I added it in just in the last 2 weeks. So it doesn't much matter if you take it this way, what the yield level is. Our optimum populations tend to be in a fairly close range. So here's the return to seed approach, the sort of data handling thing that I wanted to talk about with you this morning. I adapted this from our approach to optimum nitrogen rates or maximum return to nitrogen. In this case, we're doing return to seed. And all it is simply putting the prices on, the seed cost subtracted from the yield times the price per bushel, and plotting it out over that range. So the lower one you see there was one of the sites that had a quadratic response. And you can see it goes down a little faster than it goes up, and that's because we're losing yield and increasing seed costs out on the lower curve there. On the upper curve, it's a straight line headed slightly down after you reach the optimum. That's because our yield is flat, and all we're doing is costing some seed, from which we're not getting a return. These are the 32 site years now, the data that I showed you by year. This is all 32 of those site years over the 5 years. So you can get a sense there about what sort of responses we got. You see a few that are curvilinear up at the higher end. Those are the ones that had a quadratic fit. Most of them you see are coming down as a straight line at the higher end, and that's a quadratic plus plateau. And you can see the one at the bottom there, you know, that was one that responded very little to population and then went down. So its return to seed happened at a very low density. And others have optima at different places. I'll show you another one that shows you where those are. So our approach using these data is very simple. We just averaged these lines together and came out with one. And so my contention is this is, you know, maybe not a perfect way to do this, but as good as any way that we have. It doesn't show you the uncertainty on both ends of this. but I think it shows us sort of a best prediction going forward. And that's what, you know, that's the approach we've taken. So the maximum return to seed is $740.09 per acre at 33,461. We can be very precise. 33,461 plants. So the if I were to talk to producers and say, you know, if they asked me what density, what population do I need, I'd say, well, you know, 34,000 is pretty good. And it's, you know, based on these data that we have, and that one actually has held up fairly well over the years. You know, we would not in any of those years, you remember, have a very different density than that. Now, suppose, and this is our pretend part of this, suppose we had a field with 32 blocks, and we knew somehow that the plant density response at each block would be just like those 32 that I just showed you. This is our variable rate simulation here. It's just done on paper. So, and that we knew that, you know, so in each block we basically have the perfect population. We somehow knew what it was supposed to be, and that's where we put it. And you know there's a range of these. So we're going to, the little experiment here is to estimate or predict or calculate the cost or the maximum return to seed for each one of those and average that, and that will give us our variable rate best population if we could set it by block. So this is the same curves I showed you before, but this has the optimum point in them, and you can see the range of those. And the other thing that this sort of speaks to is when you see this kind of scatter of the yellow circles there, it's, you know, how variable is do high yields need high plant populations? And you can see here the answer is, well, not really. In fact, doing that correlation is a good exercise. And although this looks like it has an R-squared that's at least significant, you can see also if you took off the one point, the one low point, that kind of disappears. And so when that correlation is not very good, it doesn't give you much confidence that varying the rate is going to improve the returns by very much. And you would be correct. Here's the result of our variable rate exercise. The average of the 32 different optimum plant densities was 33,399 plants per acre. That's 62 plants per acre fewer than the 33,461 that we said was our overall best density. The average maximum return from seed using variable rate seeding, in other words, the 32 different densities, was $742.89 per acre. That's $2.80 per acre greater than the $740.09 that we had if we had used the same density in each block. Of that $2.80, 19 cents was from the lower seed cost, and $2.61 was from the higher yield. We managed 7/10 of a bushel higher yield, and we saved 62 seeds per acre. I just put a note in here. With the last 2 years, we've had the same set of hybrids in the trial, two from DeKalb and two from Pioneer. And I'm just showing you this. You know, there are some differences in optimum here, but they don't maintain very well across sites or across years. The lowest density and yields are very close in 2015 was with DeKalb. You can't see it there, but it's the 6208. And in 2016, there was a little bit more separation, but the responses in this case, the DeKalb 6277 had that low density optimum. So they're not very consistent. These are all good hybrids, and they obviously do well. Summary and conclusions, optimum plant densities over a range of growing conditions in productive fields mostly range from 30 to 40,000 per acre, 75 to 100,000 per hectare. We found an economic optimum across sites of about 33,400 plants per acre, and the optimum density was positively but rather weakly correlated with yield at the optimum density. Over 32 site years, simulating variable rate seeding produced slightly, and the word is really slightly, higher net return to seed than uniform seeding. And variable rate seeding works, but may provide little return in many fields. These are not variable fields, even though if you go across 5 years, you know, there's a pretty good amount of variability, even if at the same place over years. But in a highly variable field, you know, this doesn't probably speak to that very well. The penalties for over and under seeding for the conditions may be less than we have thought. Thanks.